This is the discussion group call for Thursday, April 11th, and it's supposed to be 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It is now 9:05. We're getting started a little late. We had a little cleanup we had to do. And Terry was a little late. My apologies. This call is for general discussion. The topics are pretty well open. But the NLA does not claim responsibility for anything anybody says. Each individual is responsible for what they say, and the NLA does not necessarily endorse whatever it is they're saying. So, with that, I turn it open to the general populace. Anybody wants to take the floor, go ahead now.
I love how everybody jumps on that when you say that, Terry.
Seems to be that way, yeah.
She's really smart. She knows it takes a while.
She can really draw them out. Come on, people. Wake up.
Did anybody catch the headline on the, this is Ron out of Arkansas, the headline out of Oregon on the Senate passage of the Second Amendment deal?
Nope.
I didn't either. You want Phil's pen?
Yeah, I had it up on the screen here just a minute ago. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. Let's see. Bill that turns gun owners into criminals overnight passes Oregon Senate. Now, it hasn't passed beyond that, but it looks pretty ugly. You can catch it on, crap. Let's see I don't think it's not a YouTube, but you could probably cue that in, just that title. Bill that turns gun owners into criminals overnight passes Oregon Senate. Just Google that and you'll probably get it. It's Second Amendment revolt coming in America, and soon if the insane left-wing faction of the Democratic Party doesn't stop pushing gun owners and the Constitution to their limits. Oregon, surprisingly not California, may actually be ground zero. On Tuesday, the State Senate Judiciary Committee voted to approve Senate Bill 978, which contains a cornucopia of new gun control measures that will effectively criminalize the Second Amendment and all gun owners. Let's see. Specifically, the measure will legalize age discrimination by allowing firearm dealers to refuse to sell even rifles to anyone under the age of 21, thereby denying legal adults the right to keep and bear arms, since federal law currently prohibits the sale of handguns to anyone under 21, itself an unconstitutional violation. Implement such strict firearm storage requirements as to make gun owners in the home useless for self-defense. Hold gun owners liable for criminal acts committed with their stolen firearms. Penalize gun owners who have had their firearms stolen from them and if they fail to follow strict reporting requirements. Ban home manufacturing of firearms, which has been an American tradition since before our country's founding. Empower local governments to establish wide-ranging, far-reaching gun-free zones that criminals will ignore as they shoot up and murder unarmed, defenseless citizens while police arrive minutes too late. Boost licensees, fees for concealed handgun permits, and so on and so on. Virtually the Democrats support this bill, all Democrats. I don't think it's all Democrats. I just think it's once it's usurped the Democratic Party and taken it over, the commies basically, calling themselves progressives to hide behind that shield. Anyway, you can read it There's got a bunch of other stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of follow-up out there if you get on the web. Has Catherine arrived yet?
Yes. Well, she's still signed in.
Yeah. She's trying to get to a place that's quiet so there's no distraction. I think she said she was going to her church or something. So.
All right, am I still on?
You're still there?
Okay, all right. Sorry, had another call coming in. So, okay, I'm seated, situated. So I missed whatever happened in the last 3 minutes. But I'm present.
Go ahead.
The last 3 minutes, there were several people that we decided that Common Core was the way to go.
Somebody said Common Core was the way to go?
I think
please
that was...
Please go on.
So was that somebody poking the bear?
That was a joke.
Yeah. Common Core is definitely not the way to go. So we have, am I on?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. How many of us are on the call? Do I know who I'm talking to? Do we have a full crew or just a few people or?
We have about 9 people, 10
okay.
people.
Okay, great. So, who has the question, first of all? I wonder if anybody has questions. You know, the main thing that is the driver for all of this stuff is the schools. It's all driven on the schools. So I wonder if anybody has any questions, you know, to lead it off. No? One of the greatest things that one of the greatest tools that I've found to use has been a video that I think I mentioned to you guys last time, which was Cultural Marxism and the Frankfurt School. Did anybody get a chance to see that? So if not, that is definitely a thing to do. The four goals of Marxism are destruction of family, destruction of private property, destruction of religion, and destruction of the nation. That's the goal, of cultural Marxism. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So when you look at all of the things that have to happen in order for people to choose evil, to choose these things out in the open, even righteous people, even church people, to choose these ways, you know, as the instruments of their own demise, you know, 100 years or so, or 150 years or so of things need to fall into place, they need to happen, and boy, they really have. So when I started out my... if you guys could hold on for just a second. Is it time for you to go, please? Please go. So
I
have to
called.
Be just... Yes, you are. You're
being called.
Go, please.
Okay, fine. We'll go.
Thank you.
I love you a lot.
I love you more.
Gentlemen and ladies, you are fantastic human beings.
It's my son talking to you.
I love you all.
My son's going to his youth group. He's going to say hello and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye.
Okay, adios.
Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
Hello.
My son is his church youth group tonight, so do want to talk to you badly about church people while he's heading into the church building. So anyway, where was I? I lost my place. So when I started in activism, which was about 7 years ago, it was when my son was in fifth grade, and I was learning about what was coming with Common Core. And it was the late 2012, early 2013. And I couldn't believe my ears. And I was remembering at that time the things I was learning about what was going on in the world with Islam and all that stuff. And people at that time thought that Glenn Beck was nuts, because Glenn Beck was saying, you know, the Islamic people want to kill you. They want to chop off heads. They want to take over the world, and you are the infidel and all that. And it was, oh, gosh, what was it? I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but, you know, all the things that he was saying, people were saying he was crazy. All the talking heads came unglued over Glenn Beck saying this stuff, and he was right. He was right about this. All of the things that he said at the time have come true. I mean, they were happening. It's just that nobody wanted to admit it. And I remember thinking, you know, it was scary at the time. This is 7 years ago, and I thought I was awoke. I thought I was awake then, but I certainly was not, and I was scared. And I thought, you know, one of the things that they're teaching us is that the first tenet of the first goal of Marxism, which is breakdown of the family. And I thought, it's prophecy. This is prophecy. But I can't imagine that it's going to happen in my lifetime, because I cannot imagine a wedge being driven between myself and my parents or my family. I love them that much. They love me. That just couldn't happen. Had to flash forward 7 years, and that has happened. My family thinks I'm nuts, you know, and that I'm, you know, all doom and gloom and all of that stuff. And nothing could be further from the truth. But we can't have a truthful conversation with people that are not initiated into what's really going on in the world, people that want to keep their heads in the sand.
That's right.
And I've come to the point, I've spent almost all of those 7 years, the last 7 years, doing all that I can to try to help save people. I've always been that, I'm a helper. So I've always felt that it was my duty to help, because I could just see a fit. Well, it's come to the point where it's too late. So we actually have to utilize the people that we have available to us. I mean, the people, we have to unify the groups and the people that we can, and we can't spend any more time. I mean, as individuals, as our groups, like the National Liberty Alliance, I tell people almost every day, you cannot find a better resource on the internet for free. Anywhere, really. It's an assembly of just masterful work, and it's very impressive, and I think everybody needs to go there and be there. And we, you know, need to have resources for people when they want to come looking for it, and be open to educating them if they're coming to us for education. But the outreach part of it, it's too late for that. We actually have to bring into action. It is too late. And I'm in California. I'm in Northern California, and we're sort of the last to go. I wish that I could a screenshot of what I got today. Because one of my primary focus has been, you know, like I said, early days has been on Common Core. I was learning all about the deliberate dumbing down of the curriculum, the heinous standards. I learned from the experts, and I'm you know, friends with those experts, the people that were on the Common Core Validation Committee, and, you know, all that stuff. So the authors of the highest standards in our land before this, you know, Common Core thing took over. And so I learned from the masters, and I learned, you know, on my own as well, because I had, I felt like I had a broader, first of all, I had the history, but I had a broader, a more open mind. I was not issue-centric even at the time. I was looking for ways to fix it. So when I'm learning about all the education stuff, I'm starting to realize after about a year or so, I'm starting to realize that the education is not the problem. The entire education, Common Core, you know, anti-Common Core movement still to this day is hyper-focused on what goes on in the classroom. You know, they want to go to their legislators. They want to go to their congresspeople, their governor. They want to, you know, they want the president to fix it. They want to go all different ways that are only going to make it worse. And to this day, they think that they're going to formulate some magic string of words that's going to make it happen, and that's never going to happen. And it's because they don't understand what actually happened. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is actually the truth about what the deal is with Common Core. As bad as it is, the worst part of it is not what happens in the classroom. That is a side benefit of, you know, the education reform that was always going to happen. That's always going to happen. It's just that the Obama administration glommed onto this because it suited their needs. And the purpose for Barack Obama, and I believe that he was groomed, I don't think that it was definitely not his brainchild. I know that that's a fact. But it suited his purpose, which was to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And the way that you transform something is you change it from what it was into something different. And so the way that they did that was, now I want to ask everybody, does anybody remember the correspondence dinner? It was the last correspondence dinner in the last year. It was January or February of 16. He said Obama, he tried to be funny, and it was like a roast, and he was getting up to speak, and he said, I can't remember the first part of it, but he said, the end of the Republic has never looked better. Does anyone remember that?
No.
No, I don't remember that, but I can say this. This is Felicia. I can say this. First of all, the United States is not a country. It is a corporation, and we are entities living in it, and they see
right.
us as corporate matter. Now,
yeah,
as far as Islam and all these different religions coming in, the main thing that I think that we're lacking is love, because they continue to try to keep us in chaos and have our minds blown with this and hate about this religion, that religion. There's only one true religion, and it is love. If it wasn't
Absolutely.
Love, nothing would have been created.
Absolutely.
So we have to look within ourselves to find that, because me personally, through my experience, I figured out that the body doesn't last forever, but the soul lives forever, for it is God. Just like any living creature on this planet. The birds are gonna eat, the trees are gonna grow, the grass is gonna grow, whether you feed it or not. Everything else on this planet, we are the only species on this planet that has to pay money to live on it. Everything else already has consciousness embedded into it. Man throws us off with TV, the chaos is going on with politics and all this mess. It's mind control. It's to keep
right.
us divided. That's just my opinion.
Absolutely, that's true.
Okay, so I'll start right there. Go ahead.
Oops. So, I forgot where I was.
Obama's speech.
Obama's, what he said was, you know, the end of the Republic never looked better. And that was in 2016, last year of his presidency. And the reason he could say that so confidently, and you notice, he said the end of the Republic has never looked better. That was not a joke, because if you look, I mean, first of all, nobody in media refers to the United States as a republic. Nobody in politics or in our government, almost nobody, there are a couple, I think there are two maybe, refers to America or the U.S. as a republic. And he never has. As a matter of fact, all throughout his presidency, all he ever did, and even before, and I studied a lot of the videos from when he was a senator and prior to his presidency, and he always referred to the country, our country, as a democracy.
Yes.
And this one time he says, end of the republic has never looked better. And that's why I say that's not a joke. Because what happened was in 2010, 47 states had signed on for the Common Core State Standards. And that was that was not an act of government. The standards were contracted using federal money and the federal government funded it, but it was part of it. But it was actually a completely non-governmental thing. So it was the National Governors Association. I think everybody knows this. National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers. And that is a unelected, unaccountable, non-governmental agency that contracted the standards. So the standards are a product owned by those two and this whole consortium. And so what they did was they shot the U.S. Department of Education, shopped the standards around and said, hey, we know you're broker than broke, and we'll get you in the lottery to get you out of your brokenness and stop paying those teachers out of loans that you can't afford and you're, completely in the red, if you'll sign on for these new standards. And so they're going, sure, yeah. So 46 governors did, for states. It was 47, but one of them bailed. And so initially there were 46 states that had signed on for the Common Core State Standards. Now that was a contract by the end of 2010. That was a done deal. But they didn't, so they had all of the groundwork that was necessary to, to facilitate that. This new ed reform already were in the works. It was been on board for, 30 years probably at that point. Yeah, at least 30 years. So by the end of 2013, all 46 states had executed their contracts. And when they did that, it actually took the power of our federal government and our state government out of the picture. So it was a precedent, because we run on precedent. So it was a precedent setting thing where, I want to interject this idea too, and please don't forget it. This is the way this crap happens, is precedent. Everything's done on precedent, right? They took the standards, or they took the Department of Education, forced it basically onto the states. The governor and the state superintendents signed on, and in signing a contract, eliminated representative government. They eliminated Congress. This is one of the reasons why you don't want to collide worlds with your republic. You don't want to collide a socialist construct with your republican form of government, because eventually something's going to give. They don't, it's like oil and water, they don't mix. So it's a really good reason to avoid that. And this is a really good example. Education is a socialist, public education. And our public education system is a socialist construct. It was doomed to failure. And that is what's happening. So hold on a second. I'm going to plug in because I'm going to get dropped here otherwise.
The last thing I remember Obama saying was at a speech that was aired on national television when he talked about pirates and how his session was. But the last thing that he mentioned, he said that the only thing that he really had to deal with was asteroids and aliens. And then he turned around and cried. And you can laugh, but he turned around, you can look it up. He turned around and signed a signing executive order about planetary things. Now, today, we had Israeli trying to land on the moon. And a lot of people, and they say, oh, it landed, but we lost signal. But people don't understand that Hitler was there first, and then Russia was there, and then the U.S. needed there, the Armstrong there, and then China. But a lot of people don't know that because they don't understand that. So that's the bad thing. I know about that, and I know that's right. So, but yeah. My thing is this. Here we are. We on this conference call. We talk about. But one thing I want to – I've seen an article today about 5G and chemtrails. And it popped in my mind. Last year, I was on this call, on a Thursday night call, and I talked about it. I talked about it, and now all of a sudden, and when I saw the article today, I was like, I knew it. I told you. People don't understand what's going on. We can, you know, cite the Constitution. We can do this. These people are criminals. And they have amnesty. They have amnesty. They have that. Not
who has
man.
Amnesty? Who has
all
amnesty?
About our world leaders have amnesty. I don't know why they're giving them amnesty, but they have.
Well, can you clarify though? Who specifically? Like our
all world the world leaders. All the world leaders on planet Earth have amnesty from all wrongdoing.
Uh-huh. Okay, so who's the entity giving amnesty?
I'm going to tell you they are Homo capensis. They're not Homo sapiens. I can tell you that. You can laugh. I mean, you know, look it up by all means. Homo capensis. Homo capensis. And if anybody reads the Torah, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Enoch, the Sumerian clay tablets, people will understand that this planet is billions of years old, and Jesus only goes back 6,000. Okay, so we already know that Mesopotamia and the Holy Bible is actually Iraq. So why are we over there fighting these people in all these holy lands? People don't think about that. Why are we fighting and having war against every place in the Bible? But people read their Bible and go to church and pay their tithes, and the Bible clearly says your tithes is food. It's not money. But you have all Joel Osteen and all these people with these billion-dollar houses, and then you have all these poor people. And they're just filthy rich.
Yeah,
people
well,
don't understand
That's prophecy. That's all prophecy. That's all... You know, I mean, that's
not
surprising.
It's not just prophecy, because these people that was talking in the Bible, they weren't talking about us. They was talking about them. But if you go back and actually read the real history, which is what the elite is hiding, you will understand and comprehend that we're all one. Whether somebody say we're Christian, Muslim, it doesn't matter. Catholic, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you take artists like R. Kelly, but then you know, they're trying to prosecute him. Then you got Michael Jackson, Oprah. She did a thing for Neverland. HBO did a thing for Neverland. Come find out, you know, she takes that off. I mean, if the FBI investigated, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, right.
You understand?
So
it's all about trying to kill a legacy. But they already don't kill the legacy of Jesus. Now, who was the name? What was the name before Jesus? Because if we was uttering, if everybody on this planet, now Jesus, the name of Jesus is very powerful. Trust me, I know. I've used it, and it works because a lot of people use it. If we all use that one name, Jesus, if all 7-point-something billion people on this planet use the name Jesus at one time, everything will be free. But we can't, and that's why they continue to keep us in chaos. So over the years, they change the name. Mesopotamia is Iraq. If you go further in history behind it, they changed the history in the high school and grammar school and junior high school, elementary. They don't want us to know and call on the true name of the Messiah. Because if we did, it would shut them down. You understand?
I would like to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Catherine, when did all this start?
What level? I think it started with the beginning. It was probably Adam. No, I'm just kidding.
Was it Adam or Eve?
Well, it probably started with the serpent in the garden, I'm thinking. No, actually, so we're talking about education. You're asking when the education thing. Okay, so, well, it goes way back. You know, the cultural Marxism, they knew that they were going to have to take over the education system, and that's no mystery. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that our, you know, the Lenins and the Stalins and the, you know, the Marxists and, you know, the evil of the world, they knew Hitler Youth, that they could, you know, change an entire generation by changing the minds of their, you know, shaping the minds of the children. So they always knew that they were going to have to. And if you look at the 45 goals of communism, you see it starts with number 17, and it goes, like, I think to 38 or something, like 37 or 38, except for a couple. You can see that all those things that are happening are driven on the schools. I mean, it says right in there, you know, get control of the schools and run the social justice and all that kind of stuff. Immorality, indiscriminate promiscuity, you know, just hedonistic, self-pleasuring, self-centrism, and you know, get people to be hyper-focused on themselves and incapable of real critical thinking. And then call it critical thinking, and that's, you know, that. So, but those things were a side benefit after the fact. The first part of the main thing that Obama wanted to accomplish was not the future of education or the, you know, the benefits of taking over the education system. From his perspective, it was a tool. It was the instrument that eliminated representative government. And so it's very dangerous. I want to say this really fast. This is the biggest point of all of the things that I talk about. This is the biggest point one of the biggest points in my mind is because, you know, I'm not sure if I can get into all of the I can't possibly get into all the details of how it actually happened. But like I was saying socialized, you know, the socialist construct of public school system is that whether it's right or wrong in terms of the structure of our republic, the people went ahead and said, yeah, well, we'll take this much socialism, but we're going to work it within our system. And that system that we agreed to was that if there was something coming from the federal government, it was going to have to be passed through our representative government. So there's got to be accountability, and that would go through Congress. And then it comes into the states, right, from the federal government. Well, when Common Core was actually implemented in the school districts across the country, the parents were outraged, the teachers were outraged, everybody who was going to be outraged and push against it did. And when they did that, they went to their legislators. The first thing they did was they went to their legislators, and they're like, please help us get out of this and stuff. Well, the legislators didn't know anything about it. So they're feeling like, well, our constituents really want us to know, you know, want us to fix this thing, but we don't know anything about it. So we're not going to feel like stooges. So we're going to go ahead and author new legislation. And the machinery that created this knew that. They knew that that's what was going to happen. And they knew that the first time that ink hit paper on any sort of legislation, it was a done deal. It was a done deal at the federal level, and it was a done deal at the state and their county and your local school district. So the thing about this is, and I hope this makes sense, but they took this Common Core thing, shopped it directly to the governors, had the governors sign a contract, but we don't, this is why we don't do business. We don't do government or governance by contract with third-party entities, you know, non-governmental agencies. We don't do that, right? We don't cut our representative form of government out and implement things that would be subject to vote of the people into the hands of, you know, corporations. And that's exactly what happened. So ultimately it comes down to the local school district. That is where all of the power is. It is not at the federal government. It is not at the state. It's at the local school districts. So the school boards had the way I usually put it is, the school board trustees, like every other oath-sworn public servant, swears an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Everything that they do, regardless of how minuscule it is, any act that they do must be pursuant to the U.S. Constitution. So nobody knows what the Constitution is, so they ignore it. And nobody ever shows up to object, so they get away with it. So that's what's happened. Well, they think that they owe their, they get their marching orders from above, meaning the state and the federal level. So the school boards are not only not required to adopt and enforce unlawful acts of government or non-governmental acts. They are prohibited from it. They're prohibited from doing that. But they did it anyway because they thought that that was, and you could talk to anyone. I've talked to dozens. I've talked to dozens of school board members all across the state. Well, actually, many dozens, actually. And they will all tell you that they get their marching orders from the state, from their county school district and their state. And ultimately from the federal government, and so they saw the order of authority, so they didn't really have any choice. You know, they actually abdicated local control. So, and you know, again, the cabal that put there was delighted, jumping for joy, because you know it's just another gauge on the ignorance of the American people. And so, does that sound like I'm shouting, you guys?
So what do you think about all these rich people, all these movie stars paying their kids way into college, knowing that one day they're going to be doctors and probably, you know, do surgery on somebody and don't even know A from B?
You sound fine, Catherine. Your level of voice sounds fine.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks so much. What I think about it, well, you know what, I'm not really following that stuff. I don't really follow the news a whole lot because I'm just super busy on what I'm working on.
But if so, you know, it has to do with education. And they're paying their kids way into these colleges and they have people taking their tests and everything, and these are the same kids that's probably gonna be operating on people and being doctors and lawyers and don't even know anything.
Right, but it doesn't really have anything to do with education. It has to do with the activities of individuals that, you know, I mean, you know, if you're asking my opinion about, you know, the Felicity Huffman and the other gal, Lori Loughlin, I guess it is, I mean, on what they did, well, you know, I mean, it's a crappy thing to do, but, you know, people are jumping up and down because it's something that they – I have to ask, what's the distraction? You know, what are they distracting us from? Because, I mean, really, in the scheme of things, it's really low in my list of priorities. I couldn't care less, frankly.
I'm going to tell you what I think is really low.
But it doesn't really have anything to do with
I think that guy that played on Empire that faked that he was attacked and, you know, he was called the N-word and bleach was poured on him and he hates Trump and all this, and he played that off, and you know, he got off. That's just not right. He lied. He lied.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't, but it's not against the law to pay somebody to beat you up. It's not.
Yeah, but it went to the grand jury. It went to the grand jury. So, but the, you know, on a local level, they got him off.
Okay. So, well, okay. So, my opinion about that is that, isn't anything that's lawful about the system that exists. So, everything's inappropriate. Everything is politically driven. It isn't. There's a difference between the politics and government. We have to take the politics out of government. I mean, the politics serves a purpose until you get the person, you know, the people in your government. But then once you're in there, it doesn't matter what your party is or what your ideology is. There's a law. That we have a foundation of law, and that's right. Completely ignored right now. So I couldn't really – I wouldn't have much faith in the judgment of a grand jury that we know could
but
be –
But they need to take that up because he lied, and it was on a big pedestal. So, you know, he lied. He just lied.
Okay, so,
and it made other people look bad.
It's just one of those things where it's – You know, it's another criminal, and it was a politically motivated thing. So you have to turn it into something that the people will sympathize with him instead of vilify him because
I'm not.
You know, he
needs to be in
jail.
I got one more question. Now, I got one more, and
well,
then
me,
I'm just going. I'm not going to say anything. Rick Scott embezzled a lot of money from Medicare and Medicaid here in Florida, millions, put it in his pocket, and Trump just appointed him over Medicaid and Medicare. What do you think about that?
You know, it seems
and millions of dollars was stolen from veterans and people that actually need it. And a lot of people actually died. And Rick Scott actually took the money and put it in his pocket and ran away. And now he's been appointed over the medical thing.
I don't think that I've ever heard of too much, you know, really good that Rick Scott has ever done. But I don't think I've ever heard anything good about Rick Scott, frankly. But. It's no different than any politician, and I really do not pay any attention to, you know, much attention, I guess I should say, to what any politician is actually doing. I really, it's not my wheelhouse.
Well, I'm in Florida, and we know what he did.
But,
and he was reelected twice, and now he's being put over to Medicaid and Medicare. So it's like, you know, people in Florida are like, wait, he stole over $300 million and put it in his pocket. You know, from insurance fraud. Now he's
so
getting ready to be appointed.
Has he been indicted? Has anyone?
Yeah, he pleaded the fifth. He pleaded the fifth.
He what?
He pleaded the fifth.
He can plead
like
the fifth.
77 times.
Okay, so why is he still in office?
But somebody put him in office. They kept him there.
Right. So what should be done with him? I mean, he's a criminal. Any politician, you can, I mean, like I said, I think there are two in that I know of that are probably not indictable.
I know
and
people
every,
that can't even afford, you know, their medication.
And I can make a case, I can literally make a case that every single oath-sworn public servant in America from dog catcher to president of the United States is indictable and prosecutable. So I don't really want to talk about the...
Because they have
amnesty. Yeah, I don't... Well, no, they don't have amnesty. They don't have
amnesty.
Yeah,
they
do. No, they don't. No, well, where did it come from?
Hey, Felicia?
Yes.
Felicia?
Yes. Felicia, I hear you. Yes. I hear you.
He said you're going to ask one more question.
A little while ago. It's over.
We've got about 10 minutes.
It's over.
And I would like to let Catherine finish. Can you mute, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's a really good point, though. I mean, that actually brings me to my ultimate point, believe it or not. It just is that if it's true that they have amnesty, I think that she's talking about immunity. They do not have immunity, but if they did have immunity, if that were true, then we could just throw our hands up and go on vacation and forget all of this, because there is no accountability, no control. We don't have any structure. It is the government is what they say it is, and it can change depending on, you know, the individual's best intentions or good ideas or whatever lobby pays the most, right? So you know, that's it's not reasonable to think that it is if you don't know how it's supposed to be. So we have the system that's supposed to be under our Constitution, and we have the system that actually is in operation, and there's no correlation between the two. So that's what we have to do, is we have to forget the details of, you know, the Felicity Huffmans and the education stuff and the Hillary Clintons, all that kind of stuff. Those people need to be indicted and prosecuted.
Yes.
And we people are going to have to force compliance of our Constitution, of the individuals that we already have, if they're savable. I have some out here in California that are not savable. Frankly, they have to be used as – they're going to have to serve as examples of what not to do. You know, you can swear not to support and defend the Constitution, never having read it, if you don't mind the fate that has befallen them for doing that, and for, you know, purposely ignoring it. Government can't, claim ignorance of the law. And so, I mean, they're presumed to know the law, and you know, we either are going to have a lawful government or we're not. We're just going to let it run amok, and we're at the end. We're at the end of our republic, and I don't know how bad it gets when it's completely gone. But I'm frankly at the point where things have gotten so bad in the last just...
I need you to do me a huge
just
favor.
In the last...
I need you to drive around to the door.
Why?
And then you can park again.
Why?
For a fact. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. I'm in a meeting. What was I saying? My son just got in the car. Sorry about that. I had to take off a year, about a little over a year, to prepare our house for sale because of my activism doesn't pay and we've got too much house. And so in that time where I wasn't really super focused on actually activism, doing something, I just cannot believe how bad things actually have gotten. And so it's just at the point now where we don't really have an option. We have to actually, you know, spring into action, and it's going to take unity. I wanted to talk more about, I think I have seven now, different things that are driven on the school system that are good reasons, if anybody, because most people don't think that they can homeschool, or, you know, they think that their line hasn't been crossed yet enough. You know, there's mandated vaccines. They're mandated. There are no mandated vaccines. Okay. There's no vaccine mandate. But they can mandate them as a condition of enrollment to schools. And so that's one. The crappy standards, the Common Core C standards, is crappy, you know, education. And I can totally freak people out on how badly their children are disserviced by going to a public school just on the standards alone. But it also is the testing that
actually makes a child, turns your child into the unpaid producer of the world's most valuable commodity, which is education data, which is astronomical, and it's more valuable than literally anything on the planet. Without their parents' knowledge or consent, you can get your kids into school, and anybody who has an 11-year-old, when a parent signs a parent agreement upon enrollment, they are signing their child over to the school, who can remove them from campus for medical treatments for which their children are not capable of giving informed consent, and any kind of medications, including vaccines, that can injure or kill them without parental knowledge or consent. Okay. Also, abortion. Yes.
This is Ron. You wanted me to tell you about your meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. I got about 4 minutes left. Wow. Somebody changed my clock. Okay, so I had gotten a call just before, and it looks like I can wait until right about 7 p.m., so I appreciate that. Thank you, Ron.
You bet.
Let's see, what was the other thing? Was the sexuality. I want to tell you about the screenshot that I got today, and I, you know, forgive me, but this is what's going out to eighth graders. It's a wooden dildo. It's used for demonstrations in classrooms, and they demonstrate dental dams, condoms, and other kinds of prophylactics. It's in a kit. It's in San Diego Unified School District. You can look that up. It is their lesson plan. It's kind of hard to find. You have to click on a million things to get there, but I happen to know all the people that put it together. And it is in their contraceptive education kit. And it's shocking. It really is shocking. But there's so many things that about the sexuality portion of it that would just, you can't, this is, if you spoke of these things to a person who was sensitive in a workplace, you would be fired and probably sued for sexual harassment. But we're teaching these things to our children beginning in TK, transitional kindergarten. You know, and it doesn't get better into high school. It's infinitely worse. It is absolutely pornographic, and it's everything that I said. It's Sodom and Gomorrah, so there you go. The other thing is 5G, high-density Wi-Fi in the schools. The children are completely surrounded by high-density Wi-Fi, and their microwave radiation from, you know, their devices, and they've got the phones in their pockets. That is a little... there's a whole talk on that, and I'm not the expert, but we've done our presentations, and I was on the task force for our 5G Wi-Fi and high-density Wi-Fi in the schools, 5G technology and high-density Wi-Fi in the classrooms back in 2016. And it's shocking, and it's even worse. Now, in Ripon, California, what happened was they had four kids and two teachers and one graduate who all got cancer, and these were environmental, and they, you know, I mean, our experts, and Eric Windheim is out here in California, is one of them. You know, they'll tell you all the reasons why. This is what's happened. This is where it's coming from. This cell tower is right on the school, right next to the school campus, like right outside the gate of the school. And so what happened was ultimately the parents got together, the community got together, and the people took their kids out of school, and it was, I think it was Sprint or Nextel, took it down in 3 days. They shut it all down, stopped it in 3 days, because 200 people took their kids out of school. And that's what it takes. You have to, you know, get these kids out of the schools and get people to unify. Take their children out of school. It's the only thing that's going to work, you know, to stop those bad things, the vaccines, the, you know, education. I mean, once you bring them to their knees financially, California will fall off into the ocean. We'll just probably burst into flames because, you know, we'll be so freaking broke we wouldn't be able to save ourselves. But, I mean, that's what it's going to take. And then you can go in and say, you know, no more 5G, no more sexuality, comprehensive sexuality standards. You've got to look up
Comprehensive Sexuality Education, CSE. It's a UNESCO thing. Please look that up. And let's see what else. The data collection, which I didn't really get too much into the data collection, but that's, again, astronomical amounts of money for other people. It's a 360 dossier on a child from cradle to grave. What else? I think I've might have hit them all now. But, you know, so there's many reasons to get your kids out of school. And ultimately what it comes down to, I know we talked about this a long time ago. I don't know if anybody's on the call from some of the calls I've done before, but there is a process, my process. I call it my process because I don't know anybody else who understands the process of restoration of America, in that we need to force our government into compliance. The only way that we can do this, this is the thing that is just short of alter and abolish. We have a not only a duty, but, you know, I mean, not only a right, but a duty when things go so bad that it's, you know, it's destructive of our, you know, life, liberty, and property, to alter or abolish. But we don't need to alter or abolish our chosen form of government. We need to take the structure we have right now and force it into compliance with what they're there to do, or prosecute them and really enforce those consequences. That does not require, that actually does require those people that we pay and entrust to support and defend our Constitution to be the instruments of their own undoing as far as the system that they're operating in. But those people are either going to have to be compelled to become constitutionally compliant or face the consequences. And we have to be, I think that with 3,142, I think, counties across the United States, and not one without a school district that I know of, I've got somebody who looked into that and pretty much covered that, townships and all of that stuff, that were not necessarily counties, still have school districts, and the people, whether they have children or not, need to get involved. So, and hold their representatives accountable. That's it. I mean, you're going to assume that the people that are not in government don't want to be in government. So why not take the people that we have in government that are inclined to be public servants and give them the opportunity to become constitutionally compliant? And then, you know, righteous thing to do is to make sure that they're aware of the very severe consequences of not doing that. So in California, we're going to do that. We're working on it right now. And we've reconvened our County Committee of Safety of Sacramento. I have to say that just right, because it doesn't sound like it's an actual government agency, but it should be. Because I used to call it the Sacramento County Committee of Safety, but it's the County Committee of Safety of Sacramento. And so we are back in operation, and I'm speaking down in Stockton on Saturday. And so we had a huge rally here in California yesterday in Sacramento. Yesterday, and I wish I had time to talk about that, because that's pretty amazing too. But maybe you'll have me back another time. And so probably with that, I'll probably shut up now. Any questions?
Thank you, Catherine, for all you gave tonight. We appreciate it. I want to encourage anybody who hasn't read it to read The Naked Communist. It was written originally back in 1953 or 55 or something. And the 45 points that they talked about, they're in there. And it says things like discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. He also has some ideas about how we can defeat what the communists set down to do as their goals. And, you know, they pretty much accomplished almost every one of them. It's kind of scary. There was a later book called The Naked Communists Revisited by James C. Bowers, and he documented how many were and weren't. So I appreciate everyone's participation tonight. If there's anything, one last thing anybody wants to say, keep it short because we need to end this call.
I got nothing. Thank you for having me. Thanks for letting me ramble on tonight. I really appreciate it, you guys. God
hey,
bless
you. Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank we you. Appreciate you, too.
Thank you so much.
Come back.
I'll be back. I'll be back next week.
Good, good. Maybe we're going to go cover Hillary's letter.
Oh, yes. You know what? I would love to do that. That would be great.
Okay.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, y'all. I'm going to have to go now. Thanks again.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Now, anybody else want to say anything? Okay. We'll end it there. This has been the discussion group, the NLA discussion group. It meets at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the regular NLA Monday night call number on every Thursday. The opinions expressed by individuals are not necessarily the goals or intentions of the NLA or what the NLA feels about anything. Everybody speaks on their own. But we're glad that everybody could come tonight, and we're grateful that everyone that contributed. And we'll see you next week, same time, same bat channel. We're signing off.